If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Can I give you a translation on that Iserman cut?
Yeah, sure.
If Dylan wants to share that I ripped him a new one, that's on him.
Yes, and if he wants to share that with you, I will then again rip him a new one.
We'll talk about Iserman's press conference at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock hour. We'll get to the Pistons. We got phone calls on AC/DC in town tonight, and John's going to be at the concert.
Can't wait. I've been waiting for this one for a long time.
A lot of you guys will be there, too, and we're going to get to the phone calls. We did bump back with Thunderstruck, and Texter says, my son, who is 4, said, Dad, did you hear that? That's from the Mario movie.
Oh, yeah.
Eric and White Lake. Uh-huh. Let's get back to the phone calls. Nate in Deerfield, you're on 97.1. Nate, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. You?
I'm great. I'm pumped for the show tonight. John, you're in for a real treat. This will be my 5th time seeing the guys. I'm taking my son, who's 8. He plays the drums, and I play guitar, so we rock out in the living room all the time, jamming out to AC/DC songs. And he has no idea that he's going tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
When are you going to tell him?
Well, I've had to kind of keep it a secret because we go to a lot of Tigers games, and they've had advertisements in town, so I've been trying to keep him distracted when we go to a game. But I picked out a whole schoolboy outfit for him. I went shopping. He's going to be dressed like Angus. I told him it was in case we go to church or have some fancy formal thing to do. So he's going to think we're going to do something nice and formal after school. And I haven't figured out exactly when I'm going to break it to him yet. Might just wait till he figures it out.
Yeah, just wait till you get there. Yeah, until he's like, where are we going?
Yeah, church isn't downtown.
Yeah.
What is this place? Why are there so many people?
I've got the double horns for him. It's going to be a blast. We were at the Green Day show a few months back, and we were up in the front row for that. He got a pair of drumsticks from Trey's drummer, so I went and got the pit tickets for tonight, so we'll be up in the front. So, John, if you see a little kid sitting on dude's shoulders down by the stage, that'll be us.
Has he got a tie and everything, too?
Oh, he's got the tie. He's got, the blazer. He's got everything. He's going to be rocking it.
That's awesome. Nate, I wonder how many people are going to show up like Angus, looking like him, like with the shorts and the sport coat, the tie. Like, that's all in moment right there.
We ask people, are you bringing your kids? Are you sharing this with them? I gave you a hard time, old folks show. People are pointing out, this is for everyone. Yeah. 8 to 80, that's what AC/DC draws in. Lucas says, I'm 23 years old. Today's my birthday. I will be there tonight, and I can't wait. I know the word to every song.
It's going to be such a high-energy concert. I talk about the bucket list, right? And again, the genres that I like. We went to George Strait. Obviously, much different feel at that concert, but I can't wait for this one tonight. And I didn't even think about people dressing up like Angus.
I have a question for you, and this is inspired by a ticket texter. Are you at all worried about letdown factor? Because this guy says he's seen Kiss on one of their 13 farewell tours, and it just didn't hold up. They're too old, Matt and Wyandotte.
Well,
do you have any concerns about that?
Not really, because I've seen so many clips of their shows, and I don't know how, like I don't, the visual of it. I understand that, like, Angus is 70 years old. Like, I understand the visual of it, but the music is what holds up, and he still rocks it.
Yeah, I think you got to go in with realistic expectations, Enjoy the music for what it is, and the only letdown would be if there's some sort of technical thing or they simply couldn't perform. It was horrible, from that perspective. It's not going to be them in their prime. I would equate that to going to see Miggy play the last series of his career. You're not going to see the same Miggy, but you're going to see who you like, and you're going to treasure it, and you're still going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know that the drop-off will be as dramatic was. I don't want to. I'm not going to throw shade at Biggie, but
I didn't say that. You did.
Yeah. But it's the music. And even if he's not, you know, jumping around, dancing around like he did when he was, you know, 50. But here's the other hope. These dudes are rocking and rolling. And the Stones, when they go out there, they're still, you know, rocking. I hope that when I'm 70, that I can rock it like Angus is rocking it right now. Like, that is kind of the goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Texter says, my 14-year-old son would love to go and see it. We listen together. That's Larry in Brooklyn. How about the other side of this coin? People talk about their kids. Texter says, my dad introduced me to AC/DC as a kid. I'm 39 now. I'll always think of my dad when
that's
I think
awesome.
Of
awesome. That's the AC/DC. Other side of that coin. Yeah.
248-539-9797. I'm trying to sift through all these texts. We have so many calls to get to. Next up is Sam. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I'm taking my uncle because he introduced me just like, you know, Quiet Riot and Motley Crue and stuff like that. And then I was listening to you guys yesterday. I wanted to ask a question about the gorilla thing. Do you think 100 guys would beat a gorilla if they were playing Thunderstruck?
Oh, your odds go way up. Your odds go way up. No question about it.
Right, that's all,
man. Yeah, thank you. Yes, that's awesome. Putting the two together.
Mm-hmm. Ticket Texture says, "My favorite AC/DC song was Big Balls." Signed, Seymour. Yes. Keeping everything full circle.
Yes,
here.
I do hope they play that one. Is Dirty Deeds as well?
They're gonna play all the.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, you would think
all the
yeah.
good stuff. 9-year-old loves Thunderstruck. We've watched their YouTube videos hundreds of times together. It says, pick one to take the kids to for memories. AC/DC tonight or Pistons game 6 tomorrow? John, I know your answer.
Oh, I do AC. Yeah, man. I'm obviously going to AC/DC. I'm not going to the Pistons game.
You can't
Tigers
lose,
are on.
You can't lose a concert, right?
Yeah, although, yeah, and I don't have to miss the Tigers today.
Day game.
I get both.
Yeah, 2:10. All works out for John. Frank and Romeo, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, John, I wish I was you, bud. I love live concerts. I love the energy the crowd is, you know, it has. And Thunderstruck, and I'd say age 13 is probably about the bottom on the age for a concert like that. Just to appreciate it, I think.
Yeah, to fully appreciate kids, it, yeah.
Yeah, I've got kids that are 19, 20, and 14, and they all grew up on listening to it in my car. I'm, like I said, I'm 59, so I grew up listening to that stuff when I was in high school. And, I saw them back in the day when I was just out of high school. So have fun tonight, man. You're going to have a blast. You're going to love it.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it.
Yep.
I can't
Take
wait.
Care, yep.
Part of this, you shared, and Heather, you said, this is kind of the last of an era.
Oh, for sure. When all of these older guys pass away, right, these rockers, who's to take
next?
Their place? Like, yes.
So this is what a ticket texter says. The next genre, the next era, the Red Hot Chili Peppers,
okay. mm-hmm.
Green Day, Blink 182, Maroon 5, The Killers. So people turn up the radios for those guys. That's the next wave.
Tom brought up another one, Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I think that's one of the... Them and Metallica still got some life.
Yeah.
In them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Metallica came around after, like more in the 80s. You know, and then Pearl Jam, late 80s, 90s. They'll have a following.
They definitely. But like, will they be as iconic? Do they have as many...
The catalog?
...of these songs that are so popular... Still,
I mean, maybe not as big of a catalog. Like,
yeah, but even
I don't want to. I don't want to step on.
I mean, he's 61 years old,
right? But
which is old.
I mean, but they'll probably go to 75.
I would think
if they do a farewell tour, like a true one.
Oh, that's
they'll probably do stadiums. I would imagine.
Oh, they would have to
like huge ones, like the where, who was it? George Strait that did.
Yeah, George Strait did. God, he set the record at which stadium was it? Because Michigan's going to try and break that record. I can't remember which state. It was somewhere in Texas.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember what it was. Like 100 and some thousand people. But yeah, I mean, Metallica would have to play like NASCAR stadiums.
Yeah,
that would be because I mean, can you imagine being on that infield?
I went to this thing. I can't even remember what it was called now, but I fell into some tickets. I went to Philadelphia to visit cousins, and it was the Eagles, Dewey Brothers, and Steely Dan. And I got like a last second invite because my cousin's friend got sick. He had already had plans to go to this when we were coming to town. And anyways, I went, and it was awesome at a stadium like that, Citi Field, to see somebody like the Eagles perform. And it, mm-hmm. that's what I kind of think about with like Metallica. They'd have to go to all these, you know, they'd probably play wherever, what's it called now, MetLife, where the Giants and Jets play.
Yeah.
Those kind of venues. Like, I think that would be humongous. But the thing is, they'd have to be true to the, if they did the true farewell tour, because every, like somebody brought up Kiss earlier.
How many farewell tours have they had? Yeah. We got phone lines open. We got a couple spots. 248-539-9797. 835. Have the Pistons inspired you? Last night's win. Significant series-altering win. We'll get to that. Plus Cade Cunningham with his Batman moment. Asar Thompson putting the clamps on Brunson. A lot of basketball talk later in the hour. And our Iserman reaction at 9 o'clock. It's 97.1.
A personal injury of any sort is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Femininio. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
We're talking off air. This AC/DC conversation, people are introducing their kids to this. Heather, what are your kids learning?
It's funny because we don't really listen. We like rock and roll, right? I know all these songs, but that's not really what we listen to. We still listen to a lot of like old school rap. So I'm like, oh my gosh, we're introducing our children. And Colin knows all of the lyrics. And he does a lot of this thing at home where instead of singing the lyrics, he speaks them. He just talks the lyrics. And it's so inappropriate. And now Emily is really, she has taken everything. And I'm like,
she knows all the words now too.
No. And I've been introducing her slowly to like really cheesy old stuff that I used to listen to when I was a kid.
Like what?
Barbie Girl by Aqua. Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh yeah.
Macarena. Like the
there's nothing like watching a 3-year-old who let the dogs out.
She loves it. So does Brooks. It comes out. He's like, yeah. His arms are waving. We'll introduce this other stuff later, but
Baby Got Back.
You know what? She's never heard Sir Mix-a-Lot, but just totally do a lot of Salt and Pepper. We do a lot of Shoop. Yes.
Mm-hmm. John's gonna be at AC/DC tonight. We're a million questions and spinoffs. Are you taking your kids? The question about like the last of an era. Yeah. So many different things to get into. Let's knock out a couple phone calls. Paul and Taylor, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, guys? I don't get to go this time, unfortunately, but I got to go in 96. I don't know, John, you remember back in the day when at Harmony House you had to wait outside for tickets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we got lucky, and the guy in front of us got his lotto ticket called, so we were second in line for tickets when I was 18 years old. I was 21 rows from the stage, main floor for AC/DC at the Palace. It was amazing. Take earplugs. Because your ears will ring for 3 days. Mm-hmm.
That's all right. I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
You're not going to do any?
Any what?
Like ear protection?
Or
no.
Nothing, really?
No. I've never even considered it.
I would say kids should do that. Young kids should definitely. Especially that one little kid that's going to be right there on the floor in the pit.
Like the 8-year-old from earlier? Yeah.
Give him.
Got to experience the full throttle.
I mean, no. Colin has had to have surgery on his ear because he's lost hearing and had a surgery when Emily was born. Like, it does.
I get it.
You can act like a tough guy, but your ears are going to hurt. You can do some damage, especially at a show like that.
I'm not wearing earplugs. And
do you see John wearing earplugs?
Yeah, come on.
No, I
he
know
goes
who I'm talking
to. Those big
to.
Earmuffs.
Like Drew Brees' kid after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Earmuffs! Yes.
Rick and Pinckney, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Hey, John, I bought my son, who's 23 years old, the tickets for Christmas, and we've been waiting, anticipating for 4 months, and we are stoked. We have our Back in Black t-shirts. We're ready to rock and roll, and I work in education, and I think music, along with sports, is a great way to bridge generations. Last year, I took him to the Def Leppard and Steve Miller and Journey concert, and we had a blast, and we can't wait for this evening.
That's awesome. And you're spot on. Sports, music, it does. You know, the classics will bond generations.
That stuff you can share.
Yeah. That's how Lisa gave it to me, was I got an AC/DC t-shirt. And I thought, oh, this is cool. You know, graphic tee. And I'm like, because I'm a big fan.
Are you wearing that tonight?
I will wear it tonight, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll probably come home with some new merch, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
For sure.
It depends on how long the line is. But Jim, you've probably never done that. Heather, the reference to the Harmony House and standing in line.
I was little.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I was young. So I don't think I ever stood in a line. Because the first concert I went to, I might have been in elementary school, but I didn't purchase the tickets, clearly. But I remember it, and I remember Harmony House quite well. So
yeah, I did that for a Waylon Jennings concert.
Did you?
Yeah.
So explain this concept to me. Like the
so before the internet,
I couldn't get it on my phone.
Yes, you couldn't get it on your phone. Before cell phones, you used to have, and this is back when, have you ever had a paper ticket?
Like going to sporting events,
okay, yes. Yeah. Well, concerts used to be the same thing, paper tickets. Yeah. And so you used to have to, they would say, hey, at 10 a.m., the tickets are going to go on sale, but you had to physically be in line. People would line up sometimes, I mean, overnight was no stretch. Sometimes people would line up for days.
I did 14 hours for the 95 Cup Finals, and I was one of 200 people to get the tickets.
Wow.
7 o'clock, and they didn't go on sale till 9.
Mm-hmm.
7 p.m. the night before.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about people, and for some of these concerts, it would literally be days. People would be camping out. It was more of a thing than the whole like Black Friday sales, where people would, you know, go the night before and get in line for sales. Like, ticket sales was a big deal.
Ticket Texter says, Jim, what about you? You listen to a lot of disco?
The Bee Gees.
And I feel bad for those who chose the Tigers last night instead of the Pistons. John.
Well, I mentioned it. I watched the second half of the Pistons there.
Well, we're all waiting to get your Pistons breakdown. We'll do it coming up at 8:35. We'll get into it. Because last night, that was an inspired performance. We'll get to whether people are rethinking the series now. Let's get to Heather with the news. Heather, what's going on?
Well, two teens were shot in Hamtramck on Monday night, and now a 15-year-old is in police custody. 15. Hamtramck police say a 17-year-old girl was shot in the head. A 16-year-old boy was shot in the torso after an argument that took place at an apartment complex. Thankfully, both are expected to survive. Police say that the shooting happened, like I said, after this dispute. They say there was no threat to the community. A popular Livonia burger joint, Bates Burgers, is temporarily closed as it works to clean up from a kitchen fire. So early Tuesday morning, a fire broke out, caused the most damage to the grill, but also some damage to the restaurant's walls, silverware, things like that. Nobody was hurt in the fire, which is the good news. And the GM says that a new grill has already been ordered on the way, and the plan is to get the restaurant back up and running as soon as possible. And the exact cause of the fire is still under investigation. This is pretty cool. After playing for 40 years, a Macomb County man won $6 million on a scratch-off lottery ticket.
Wow.
$6 million. The man, who is going to remain anonymous, says that he's been playing scratch-offs, like I said, for 40 years. He buys them all the time. And when he saw his winnings on this one, he said he nearly fainted. Like, couldn't believe it. He has already collected his payment of $4.1 million. He says he plans to take a vacation and then save the rest. So it's not going to splurge, unless it's a really, really fancy vacation, but sounds like he'll be saving, which
that's
is pretty cool.
Cool.
Hey, tickets for the NFL Hall of Fame game are now on sale.
Oh, yeah.
So the Lions and the Chargers will square off in Canton, Ohio on Thursday, July 31st at 8 p.m. You can go on StubHub and get some tickets. They say passes are available for as little as $80 each. Lower bowl seats start at $100 and club seats at $2. 50.
I already know fans who have bought tickets.
You do?
Like people who are itching to go, because it's cool. You see the Hall of Fame. It's a preseason football game, but you're never going to go unless the Lions are there, and this is your opportunity to go.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame is really cool, and they've updated it, you know, even recently. But the game, you're not going to see a lot of the stars play, but it's your first chance to get a feel for fall and football.
Yeah, they have updated it. There's a new class every year, John.
Yes, they've just
can you
like
smarm alarm yourself? Because is that allowed?
Yeah. Jeez. New busts.
I have a little story about some email etiquette.
Oh.
And it's
something
that I've done quite recently, so I'm going to have to change my ways.
Did you reply all?
No, not that, John. But according to experts, the most useless phrase that you can put in an email is just checking in. And I do this. Hey, just checking in. I wanted to see blah, 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 whatever, yeah. Whatever I'm asking.
That seems more like a text.
It does? I guess sometimes my emails are like texts.
Sure. People that email like text are criminals.
But I don't. But I don't text like a lot of people. I text in full sentences with punctuation.
Oh, as you should.
So I also email and.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think my emails are kind of formal. But anyway, experts say that this phrase is just all fluff. It really doesn't accomplish anything. Which is like you.
Just get to the point.
Just get to the point. Be straightforward. Be direct. And that this is kind of vaguely passive aggressive, which. It kind of is, because normally when I'm just checking in, it means I haven't heard from you and I should have heard from you. So I'm just checking in, wanted to see the progress on yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But I mean, if your purpose is
to be passive aggressive, then it works well.
I guess so. Maybe it is.
No one should email like they text.
So
just send a text. Email is a completely different form of communication.
What do you mean? How so? Like how different? Like it needs to be way more formal?
No, it just needs to be like if you're just checking in, that's a text like, hey, how you doing?
No, okay, but no. I guess I say, hey, just checking in
with other stuff to say.
Yeah, I don't just say, hey, check it in. How's it going? I say, hey, I'm just checking in. I want to see the progress of this. Could you send me this or whatever? It's like my intro to me asking a question.
Where do they stand on per my last email? Talk about passive aggressive.
Yeah, exactly. Jelly Roll, we've talked about this, but he was on this weight loss mission. He explained his whole thought process recently on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And so he announced that he is approaching the 200-pound mark. And when asked how much weight he wants to lose, he said that he does have a number in mind, but what he wants really is to be able to do all the fun stuff. And he says you need to be under 250. You need to weigh under 250 pounds. He wants to go skydiving. He wants to ride a roller coaster. He wants to ride a bull. He wants to wrestle an alligator. And he said the list goes on and on and on. And then when he was asked about what he's doing to lose all this weight, he said really he's been eating a lot of protein and vegetables and walking.
Good for him.
So
he's doing it the healthy way.
Don't get John Jansen skinny at that one point when you're on TV this fall and I saw you and I'm like, man.
Withering away.
Where the cheeks are sunken in.
Well, I remember I came back from maternity leave. That's when you lost all that weight and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Now, trust me, it still doesn't look like I've missed many meals.
I didn't hear him say Ozempic. You accused him of that.
I
know. There was an accusation.
I mean, most,
the assumption is that they can't do it right.
Through this office, and I guarantee you, multiple people are taking Ozempic. It's everyone is doing it, and a lot of celebrities are too. So when I heard this, instantly I thought, well, it's probably Ozempic.
Not everyone is doing it.
Not everyone. No. I'm exaggerating, but it is more normal. A lot of people are doing it.
You know what they say about assumptions, Heather.
Yes.
I'm scolding her as if I've never made a reckless assumption on the radio. Anyway, we're going to get to the Pistons coming up next. It's 97.1. If you hate going to the dentist, you're not alone, but it doesn't have to be that way. Been telling you about Brightside Dental, and there's no judgment. If you haven't been to the dentist in a while, if you have a couple problem teeth, they're not going to give you a hard time. They're not going to give you the, are you flossing after every single meal? They just want to get you in and get you taken care of. At Brightside Dental, they understand that you started a new job, you got married, you had a kid, life gets in the way, and you may have missed some of those dental appointments. $35 new patient special. It covers exams and x-rays. 9 Metro Detroit locations means there's one right around the corner from you. So make an appointment. Let's get back in the routine. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. This is Batman moment.
Yep.
Not a Robin. Cade's a Batman.
He nailed it.
13 fourth quarter points. That three specifically, John, that got your antenna up. Because that gave him a 2-possession lead. That's a big fourth quarter shot.
And I've been talking about all these fourth quarters. Where's Cade? What's he doing? And it doesn't have to be the score. It doesn't have to be the shot. Those are the ones that we prefer. Those are the ones that stand out the most. But are you the guy with the ball in your hand that sets up a teammate, that takes the initiative to win the game?
The biggest thing that will eventually get the Pistons to a place where they can win an NBA championship is Cade's ascent. and other things will matter, but Cade's ascent is the most important. And he missed the game-winning shot in Game 4. He was so much better down the stretch in Game 5 at the Garden, backed into a corner. The Pistons team, that's a hell of a response. That's an inspired performance. You lose both games at home. Series is a formality. You're going to lose. You can pack it in. You can look ahead to your offseason, and wow, what a season we had, right? We overachieved. Love the performance. These have been nail-biter games. Games 3s, Games 4, and Game 5. All nail-biter games. The Pistons are every bit in this series. You come home, if you can duplicate, you put all the pressure on the Knicks in Game 7. An anxiety-riddled Madison Square Garden, a Knicks team that has lost 5 straight home closeouts. That fan base will be very antsy if you take care of business Thursday night, and we've earned that. Another home basketball game, a playoff atmosphere for the Detroit Pistons. I think Cade should get all the flowers today, but I also think Asar Thompson deserves some love too, because his performance was what we were calling for. Have him on the floor late. To his credit, didn't have a bunch of dumb fouls, didn't have a bunch of turnovers, and stayed in the game late and helped shut down Jalen Brunson, who had his worst playoff performance as a Knick. 16 points, lowest. 25% shooting, lowest. And he only had 3 points in the entire fourth quarter. That was as inspiring a performance as we could ask from this Pistons team.
It's everything that you needed. And it's the moments throughout the course of Cade's career where you're like, okay, how do you unlock Cade? And we've watched it this year. Some of it is the roster construction around him. Some of it is just his development. And getting to this point, now it's that next step, unlocking him in the playoffs. And I felt like we saw that a little bit in Game 2, in the response from Game 1. And now we've seen it down 3-1 on the road, Madison Square Garden, and he was in control of that fourth quarter. It was Cade's game. This was Cade's team. And that's what I think we all wanted to see.
Are you inspired? Can they pull this off now?
I think the most inspiring thing about that win is not that their backs were against the wall and they're down 3-1, it's on the road. It's being able to respond with how they lost Game 4. That was a deflating moment in terms of the foul that wasn't called. And I don't know how they internally handled that, but to be able to flip the switch, whether using it as motivation, but just to get over that heartbreak and know that our backs are against the wall. We can't worry about that moment. We can't wallow in that moment. We've got to respond, and we have to respond now. It was soul-crushing, and maybe it was more soul-crushing for the fans.
Yeah.
Because it was at home, all of the different factors involved, but the ability for a young team to take a soul-crushing moment, get over it on the road, backs against the wall, and get a win, to me, that's the inspiring part of what that win meant.
You lose Game 1 with a 21-0 run, and we said, boy, that's a kick in the, you know what I mean? Let's see how they respond in Game 2, and they did. You lose both home games. How do you respond? They did. But now they got to win multiple in a row.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just losing those home games. It was losing it the way they did.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point by you. Specifically, the heartbreak of the end of Game 4 to bounce back as emphatically as they did, it should inspire people. I mean, you thought they'd win the series. I thought they'd win the series. And we've been tested at a couple moments in this series. But the Pistons are every bit as good as the Knicks. We've watched it play out that way. Yeah, I think you could feel and should feel pretty good right now.
This team has worked for everything that they've earned this year. And now what have they worked for? They've earned the right to play a Game 6 at home and try and send it to a Game 7 back to Madison Square Garden, where they have been more successful against the Knicks than they have been at home.
I was going to say, you've won 2 games on the road already. If it really comes down to a Game 7, you really like their chances. Got to get there first. 248-539-9797. We got open lines for Pistons fans. Shout out Cade's performance, Asar's performance. Noteworthy that Brunson... He was in the torture chamber. I mean, he was fighting for his life out. He injured, comes back in the game. The Pistons did everything they needed to do to close out that game. They're learning how to close games before our very eyes. And I think there's something we need to keep in mind. Things change quickly. When the light bulb goes on, it goes on. We saw it with the Lions. Remember, at one point, 1-6, and Sheila's answering questions about Dan Campbell's job. End of that same season, they beat the Green Bay Packers and have since won 2 straight division titles. We want to see more, but that switch flipped in a hurry. The Pistons went from 14 wins to 44 wins. It flips in a hurry. If Asar is a closeout defender, if Cade's a closeout player, if this is really happening in real time, you very much believe you're winning this series. The Tigers, that switch flipped,
yeah,
you know, from 0 to 60. I mean, 0 to 120. I mean, they went from 1% to make the playoffs to winning a playoff series and forcing the, you know, a game five for an ALCS spot. It flips quickly, and it may be flipping for the Pistons before our very eyes.
And now it's always about the next step. How do you take that next step? What is the next step? Because we saw a response from game one to game two. And then you get two games at home. They're both losses. It doesn't matter how they were lost. They were lost. Now you've responded again. And you could tell that there's lessons. Whether it's coaching by JB and putting Asar Thompson in there in the fourth quarter, and or it's Cade and just being able to have the confidence that you could take over a game. It's can you now take that next step and win back-to-back playoff games? Win a playoff game at home. Force a game seven. And all you have to do is be good on one day. Don't worry about game seven. I know you want to talk about it. You know, whoever wins this game wins the series. There's going to be, if the Pistons do win, there'll be a game seven, and that'll be a completely different obstacle for them to get over.
Texter says this has quietly been one of the best series yet in the playoffs. The Knicks are battered and bruised, Pistons in seven. So this is someone inspired by what they're seeing. It says, all the pressure is on the Knicks. Beef stew's coming. Detroit will rip out their hearts on Saturday. Garen Sheed, Tony in Marine City.
Oh, another Sheed.
The best adjustment was not letting Thompson handle the ball. He wasn't throwing it into the third row. He gets off his feet so fast off every touch. He says he wasn't turning it over, and Durin might be the second best passing big man in the game.
Well, I mean, he's definitely good at distributing it, but I mean, I don't think he's the best passing big man in the game. That's a guy we talked about last week.
Talk about the Pistons earning another home game. Fans, get that home game. You're giving me a hard time for going to that home game.
Only because of your track record.
Winning record in Red Wing games this year. Sneaky. People don't realize that. Costa can sit at home with his cats, Nate in a van. Costa.
Nate in a van.
Costa, stay home. You've already made your point. More playoff games at LCA than Steve Yzerman this season. We'll get to that at 9 o'clock. Cookies thinks too much of himself to sacrifice for the city. He will go to game six and we will lose. I actually think so little of myself that I don't think showing up is going to make a hell of a difference. This one just says, keep Cookies away from LCA, all caps.
Mm-hmm. I know that you're a big proponent of booing.
Yeah.
I propose if the awful happens, if you see Jim Costa,
no,
let him know your true feelings.
You want me to... this is so out of line. He's trying to sick the city of Detroit on me and have me booed everywhere I go. What have I done that's so reprehensible? Don't answer that.
Dave Cunningham comes out on fire. 12 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds first half. He's going off into the locker room for halftime. He sees Casas there. Just this look of dread overcomes his face.
Yes. Oh, something, an obstacle we can't overcome.
Think about they showed him on the Jumbotron and everybody starts booing. All right, I got to tell you, my friend one time, we went to Palace Vision when I was in senior year in high school, and the Pistons were playing the Celtics like in the second round. And so the game's in Boston, obviously.
Yeah.
And my friend was a Larry Bird fan and a Celtics fan. And so he wore his Larry Bird jersey, which was the stupidest thing he could have done. And so the Pistons were winning this game, and place is going crazy. And they showed him on the Jumbotron, and he had like his hand and his face in one hand like that, just miserable. And the place is going, boo.
<That's> amazing.
It was unbelievable.
Why would you wear that to Palace
Vision?
I know.
It was absolutely unbelievable.
He deserved that.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
I think being booed is an experience that everyone should have at some point in their life. It's a humbling moment. I've been booed many times. And I think I don't know. I mean, you're a big proponent of booing children, so why would it be a big deal if somebody booed at you?
I'm not a big fan of this, though, like rooting people on. All right, this has to stop because, like, for the show and for reasons, Jim needs to go to games.
Yes.
We don't need to make this a thing.
I'm embargoed from attending games in the city I grew up in, all the teams I want to watch. All right.
Yeah, but the only one that you regularly go to is the only one that didn't make the post.
God, I wish you wouldn't have said that. We'll talk about it at 9:02.
There's just facts.
I'm happy you're only doing the Iserman stuff once today because I don't think I can handle talking about it twice. We'll talk about it. 9:02. It's 97.1.
Hey, grass is going to start greening up. We're actually going to get our sprinkler system going today. Can't wait. And if you want a great, lush green yard, Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service, you got to get in touch with them. 888-GET-GREEN or on the web at naturalwaylawn.com. Right now, purchase a full lawn program. You're going to get free grub control, but you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket. And here's what you get with that full lawn program. Problems that you don't have to deal with. They will take care of everything. They're not going to, something's going to pop up and then all of a sudden, hey, next week it's another problem. No, they're not going to bother with it. They just fix the problems. That's what I love about Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. The problems that you're going to face right now that you want to try and prevent, crabgrass. Still not too late to treat it, but you got to do it now. And it's the dandelions. We see them popping up all over everybody's lawn around the city. Take care of it because they're going to rob your lawn of water and nutrients, and you got to do it before they go to seed because as soon as that happens, hey, they spread everywhere. They're not going to give you a runaround. It's a locally owned company for over 35 years, so keep your money local. They're involved in local charities, Michigan owned, Michigan employees, Michigan families. The number to get in touch with them, it's 1-888-GET-GREEN or on the web at naturalwaylawn.com. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. Get green, stay green with Natural Way.
Now, there we go. Asar Thompson, closeout. Cade Cunningham, fourth quarter clutch. And the Pistons keep the season alive. Come back home, game 6 Thursday night. Ticket Texter says, Cookies, it's not just the city of Detroit that's on you, but also the city of Frankenmuth that has beef.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guys, let's not forget Thompson missed some crucial free throws late. While he played great defensively, he did almost cost us from the line. Dan in Howell. He is far from a polished player at this stage of his career, but the one thing he's supposed to do is put clamps on the other team's best player. And when Brunson scores 3 fourth quarter points, that's the headline.
And it's the wear throughout the course of the series. And when it comes to the fourth quarter, what have we seen from Jalen Brunson in some of those wins? It is Asar Thompson not on the floor, and he's able to get to the paint. He spins, he shoots a fadeaway, and it goes in. Now all of a sudden, you make him earn for every inch, every time he gets the ball. It's nothing is easy. That's when it starts to pay off.
Beef Stew would be a game changer. If we could have his physicality coming in when Duren needs rest instead of Paul Reed, that'd be an absolute factor. Cat would be in the torture chamber like Asar handled Brunson yesterday. Look, the longer you drag the series,
the more likely he will get a chance to play.
And I know he's been day-to-day for over a week. We don't know. I mean, I can't imagine it's a pain tolerance thing because he'd be out there.
Yeah.
There has to be something that they are trying to protect him from himself with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, if they're listing him as day-to-day, it is something that eventually could be cleared. It's not like a, hey, we're shutting him down situation.
Right. But we're left to wonder,
I know.
When will that be? Will it even be this series? If they win the series, when would it be in the next one?
Texter says, man, you got to love all our teams. They're making these quick turnarounds. How about them wings? Signed, Curtis and Westland.
I shared a text with you, and I think this is...
Go ahead.
This is on point. This is from Coach Tom. What we saw last night was the difference between the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings. The best player on the Pistons took over in crunch time while the best player on the Wings team faltered down the stretch. I mean, you look at March, and who was the best player? Who stepped up? And we saw Dylan Larkin in the Four Nations, and we thought, wow, like he's been unlocked. We talked to, we heard everybody talk about what it was like to play with Dylan Larkin. We heard him talk about what it was like to play with those other players. And then when the Wings took the ice, it was like, what, where'd he go? And Patrick Kane, DeBrincat, when you needed them the most, where were they?
Well, that's why there's some truth to both Iserman and Larkin. Like, Larkin needed to play better. Absolutely did. Larkin can point to, hey, when I had good players around me, something I don't have as many of or enough of in Detroit. That's part of the problem,
right,
too.
Well, he was playing on an all-star team.
Yeah. But I think you could point to Yzerman and say, have you done enough to support this roster 6 years in? Look, we'll play audio. We're going to roll out the red carpet at the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to call on hockey fans. We're going to get into what he said and how you feel about all of it. But what I do hope comes of that, because Yzerman said they had a private conversation, I hope they did air grievances. Because I think they're two competitive people and they need to get on the same page here. If Yzerman read him the riot act and said, listen, you're the captain, you got to step up, you have to boost morale, and he basically said those things yesterday at the press conference.
Yeah, but
if he said it to him in person, then I think that can be a healthy conflict behind the scenes.
You need to have those healthy conversations. It's not always going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know that he sat him down and read the riot act. I think that's a little bit reading into it. And I do think that there were probably points shared on both sides that, you know, maybe Dylan Larkin didn't think about this, or Steve Yzerman didn't see it from his perspective. Like, it's a long time ago that Steve Yzerman played the game. And we do lose perspective of what it's like to be in those shoes, or in this case, in those skates. And so I think there always needs to be that healthy back and forth. And if you can have those conversations, that's a healthy relationship.
Wrap the Pistons conversation. 248-539-9797. Good chunk of the 9 o'clock hour. I'll be talking about what went down yesterday, earlier in the day at Little Caesars Arena. Ticket texters with their thoughts says, I don't think Cat would get in anyone's face if Beef Stew was playing. He would have hit someone last night. He's so underrated in what he brings. That's Dan R. It shouldn't be lost, though, that they've won two games in this series without Isaiah Stewart.
Yes, and when he comes back, if he's able to come back in this series, all right, it's interesting that they use those words, like, you know, if he hits someone. Like, okay, there needs to be limits on his aggressive style. We talked about that. Would he cost them two free throws? Would he cost them a technical foul at some point? Like, it needs to be somewhat measured. At least pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. And I think we were going to see that. If he was healthy, how he would handle this environment with the raised stakes, the raised blood pressure, teams that are going to... You play a team enough times, you're going to get under each other's skin, and it's how handle it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about Jalen Brunson was under everyone's skin after one game.
One game.
You imagine playing five against him?
Want to rip his... You know what I mean? Like, you'd want to rip his head off.
Mm-hmm.
248-539-9797. Pistons win. Keep the season alive. Inspired performance last night. That's there for you. We're going to keep talking Pistons if you guys call and text about it, but we did promise that we'd play some Steve Yzerman audio from yesterday. Talk about where you're at as a Red Wing fan. It's 97.1.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.